Welcome to 95 Mac Daily for Thursday, October 9th, 2025. I'm your host, Chance Miller. We are sponsored this week by Backblaze. Leading off today, Apple has announced expansions of two features to new countries. First, the company says emergency SOS via satellite for iPhone and Apple Watch Ultra is expanding to Mexico later this year. This joins the existing availability of messages via satellite and Find My via satellite in the country. Emergency SOS via satellite is supported on the iPhone 14 or later, as well as the new Apple Watch Ultra 3. The feature kicks in when a user is in an area with no cellular or Wi-Fi coverage and tries to call or text emergency services. The user is then presented with a questionnaire that gathers information about the emergency. iOS then guides users through the process of where to point their iPhone or Apple Watch to the sky to connect to a satellite. And once connected, the responses are sent to an Apple-trained relay center that contacts emergency services on the user's behalf. Emergency SOS via satellite is free for 2 years after activation of an iPhone 14 or later, or Apple Watch Ultra 3, and Apple once again extended that free period last month for iPhone 14 and iPhone 15 users, bringing their total free period to 3 years so far. Apple also says that Apple Watch hypertension notifications are now available in Canada. The hypertension notifications feature works on the Apple Watch Series 11 and Apple Watch Ultra 3, alongside existing Series 9, Series 10, and Ultra 2 models. Hypertension notifications on the Apple Watch use data from the heart rate sensor to analyze how a user's blood vessels respond to the beat of the heart. And over that time period of 30 days, it can notify a user if their blood pressure is consistently elevated. Next up today, a new state law in Texas will soon require apps to enforce a form of quote-unquote age assurance with users. And in response, Apple has announced changes coming for apps available in Texas. Apple says that the state law kicks in on January 1st, 2026. And introduces age assurance requirements for app marketplaces and developers. Apple says it shares the goal of strengthening kids' online safety, but they're concerned that the law impacts the privacy of users by requiring the collection of sensitive, personally identifiable information to download any app, even if a user simply wants to check the weather or sports scores. After the law goes into effect, Apple says any user who creates a new Apple account will need to confirm whether they are 18 years or older. If that new user is a minor, they'll be required to join a family sharing group so that parents or guardians can provide consent for all purchases, download activity, and more. Developers, meanwhile, will also need to adopt new capabilities and modify behavior within their apps to meet their own obligations under the law. The law is specific to Texas, and these changes will only be applied to users in Texas. But Apple says similar requirements will come into effect later in 2026 for users based in Louisiana and Utah, unless something happens with the legislation in those respective states. So again, to recap, anyone signing up for a new Apple account in Texas will have to prove their age starting on January 1st, 2026. We're sponsored this week by Backblaze. October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, a perfect time to rethink your backup strategy. Backblaze protects your data automatically and in the background, a no-brainer part of your defense against ransomware and hardware failure. From business-critical documents to your entire photo library, Backblaze has you covered. When something goes wrong, you can restore fast, from the cloud, the client, or even a physical drive. 9to5 Mac listeners get 20% off with code 9to5daily. That's 9to5daily. Go to backblaze.com/9to5mac to start a free trial and use the promo code at checkout. My thanks to Backblaze for their support of the show. Running out today, a new report from analyst Jeff Poo has details on what to expect from next year's highly anticipated iPhone Fold. According to Poo, Apple will use a combination of titanium and aluminum for the device. He doesn't share any specific details on the design. Ming-Chi Kuo previously reported that the iPhone 18 Fold's hinge would combine stainless steel and titanium, while the casing would exclusively use titanium. So if Jeff Poo is to be believed, Apple has made a change to the iPhone Fold's design, switching from a combination of stainless steel and titanium to titanium and aluminum. As it stands today, Apple only uses titanium in the iPhone Air. While it was also used in prior iPhone Pro models, Apple switched those devices to aluminum this year to improve things like thermal performance. Apple also used stainless steel in earlier iPhone Pro models as well. Bloomberg previously described the iPhone Fold as resembling two titanium iPhone Airs side by side. The first foldable iPhone will reportedly pack a 5.5-inch outer display paired with a 7.8-inch inner display. That puts the outer display in the screen size realm of the old iPhone mini and the inner display in the ballpark of the iPad mini. The device is expected to lack support for Face ID and instead offer Touch ID as a form of authentication. And finally, in addition to the hardware itself, the iPhone 18 Fold will also have an impact on Apple's plans for iOS 27. Bloomberg reports that iOS 27 will heavily focus on optimizing software for Apple's first foldable iPhone. This includes new features specifically for the foldable form factor, as well as ensuring that iOS as we know it today is optimized for a folding interface. That wraps up another episode of 9to5 Mac Daily. As always, you can find all of the latest Apple news on 9to5mac.com. Follow along with me on Threads at Chance H. Miller. And we'll be back tomorrow for a new episode of 9to5 Mac Daily.